The Darien Gap is a roadless, snake-infested jungle separating Colombia and Panama. And it's a dangerous route taken by thousands of migrants, mostly Haitian, making their way to the United States. Reporter John Otis brings us a story of one man's journey.
We've been trudging through the jungle for only about 2 hours, but my traveling companion, a chain-smoking 45-year-old named Omar Vivo, is already flagging.
You feeling bad?
Yeah, very tired.
Sit down and rest.
Yeah.
Although most of the migrants on this trail are Haitians, Vivo is from Cuba. Many Cubans have made it to the U.S. by taking rafts across the Florida Straits, but many have also drowned. That's why Vivo has opted for the much longer overland route that starts in South America. But here in northern Colombia, there are no road links to Panama, the next country on his way north. Only dense jungle known as the Darien Gap. So Vivo, tired as he is, will have to continue on foot for about 60 miles. That means wading through rivers, like the Rio Muerto, which means dead river in Spanish. Its swift current has swept some migrants to their death.
We're on the Rio Muerto, and we've already had to cross it 9 or 10 times within the space of an hour to follow the trail.
I had interviewed Vivo a few days earlier in the Colombian border town of Acandí. He'd grown tired of his job loading cargo at Havana's international airport, but had never before traveled overseas. Imagine, he says, if you lived in Cuba all your life and never saw any prosperity or progress. As Vivo pondered an escape, he initially ruled out crossing the Darien Gap.
I said to myself, wow, that's crazy, with the jungle and the snakes. But then I realized I was also taking risks in Havana. With the food shortages and the economy in ruins, it's like you're already dying.
So Vivo, a divorced father of an adult son and daughter, left Cuba in the hopes of joining relatives in Miami. In 2019, he flew to the South American nation of Suriname, one of the few countries issuing tourist visas to Cubans.
Y entonces me presenté en una compañía.
I got a job as a security guard, he says. Vivo spent a year saving up money. Then, in March, he began a meandering journey by bus, hitchhiking, and the occasional boat through French Guiana, Brazil, Peru, Ecuador, and now Colombia. Vivo is one of the few migrants traveling all by himself. So he quickly agrees to allow me, a photographer, and our two jungle guides to accompany him during his first 2 days in the Darien Gap. Before leaving Acandí, the last town we'll see in Colombia, we buy food, flashlights, rubber boots, and sheets of plastic to protect our hammocks from the rain. There are no roads out of town, so we hire a horse cart and a driver to take us 5 hours down grassy trails to where the jungle begins.
So, Omar, is this your first time riding on a horse on your trip?
Yeah, this is my first time.
How does it feel to be behind a horse?
Good.
At sundown, we reach a clearing holding about 500 mostly Haitian migrants who have pitched multicolored tents and are cooking over campfires. We spend a rainy night trying to get some sleep in our hammocks. The next morning, we breakfast on rice and canned tuna and resume our journey. But it's rough going. Vivo pauses frequently to empty the water out of his boots and to smoke cigarettes that he's careful not to get wet. He seems totally out of place in the jungle.
Omar, por eso lianas aquí.
Yet, he keeps plowing ahead. That's why photographer Carlos Villalón, who's on assignment for NPR and has spent years documenting migrants in the Darien Gap, is impressed by our Cuban companion.
Incredible. I mean, the resilience of the guy. And I see him doing this alone. I just see an incredible, strong human being. Incredible.
No.
And as it turns out, we make decent progress. By the end of the day, we're in striking distance of the Panamanian border. We set up camp, eat more rice and tuna, then fall asleep in our hammocks to the sound of the rainforest. The next morning, over campfire coffee, Bevo jokes that he made it through another night without getting attacked by snakes.
Sí, pero no debajo tu estómago.
We leave Bevo here, but he has at least another week of hiking to reach the other side. He plans to join the next group of migrants to come along the trail. Traveling alone would leave him an easy target for the criminals who attack migrants. Our guides give Bevo some last-minute tips on how to stay on the main trail and avoid getting lost. Then, it's time to say goodbye.
Venga, young.
It's been great. Have a great trip.
Good.
Okay. Have a really good trip. Mm-hmm. You'll make it.
I call you.
Okay.
No worry.
Yeah. Be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of yourself.
Okay. Yeah.
Bevo wanders around a bend in the river, and then he's gone. For all of the Cuban's courage, Villalón, the photographer, can't help fretting.
Now I'm worried. I think I'm more worried than he is. I'm hoping he's going to make it, and we're going to get a phone call in like 5 days.
But we never get that phone call Bevo had promised to make once he got across the Darien Gap. He doesn't answer text messages, and his Facebook page has gone dormant. Finally, one of Bevo's Facebook friends writes to me. She says that once he crossed into Panama, armed men in the jungle robbed him of all his possessions. It's a miracle he's still alive, she writes. From there, Bevo made his way to Mexico. But because he lacked a visa, he was arrested by immigration authorities and is now in jail. For NPR News, I'm John Otis in the Darien Gap, Colombia.